It is in Galatians chapter number 5 that the Apostle Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. The problem is that these things, that is the flesh and the Spirit, are contrary to one another. Paul says, so that we do not do the things that we wish. And that is the struggle of our Christian experience. No, that is the thermonuclear war of our Christian experience that is being waged between our flesh and the Spirit of God dwelling within us, so that if we are ever going to produce or evidence the fruit of the Spirit, we must mortify the deeds of the flesh, Romans 8 verse 13, and we must walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5 verse 16. Our summer series this summer is the fruit of the Spirit in conjunction with our summer Home Bible Fellowship meetings on Wednesday evenings. What is it to walk in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit is first surrendering ourselves to the Spirit's control. Ephesians 5 verse 18 calls it being filled with the Spirit. But walking in the Spirit is not only surrendering ourselves to the Spirit's control, but walking in the Spirit is also obeying the Spirit's commands. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., are not only fruit of the Spirit's control in our lives, but they are the very Spirit's commands in our lives. And this morning we have come to the matter of long-suffering or patience. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, and that is not only a fruit of the Spirit, but that is also a command of the Spirit. We are to be patient. When we think of patience, we think of the capacity to tolerate difficulty without delay. For example, it takes patience to wait in line at the customer service counter when there is only one incompetent person processing all of the returns. Have you been there? Or worse, you're waiting on hold for the next available representative. And every 10 seconds, the music is interrupted with the recording. Thank you for your patience. Your call is important to us, but all of our representatives are busy helping other customers. Your call will be answered in the order it is received, right? It takes patience to sit in traffic during rush hour because our government refuses to build bigger roads. Or if they do build bigger roads, it takes them forever to complete them because the road construction season is so short and the workers just stand around all the time. It takes patience to deal with our children or our spouse or everyone else in our lives who frustrate us by being in our lives. And at some point we can't contain it anymore and we snap. Did you hear about the truck driver who sat down to eat at an all-night truck stop diner? And the waitress had just served him his meal when three guys riding motorcycles showed up and swaggered into the restaurant. One grabbed the man's hamburger, the other took a fistful of his French fries, and the third picked up his coffee and drank it. Now the truck driver responded with great patience. He calmly got up from the table, picked up his check. He walked to the front of the restaurant and he paid for his meal. The whole time the bikers were taunting him, but he didn't respond. As the truck driver left the restaurant, the waitress went to the window, relieved that an altercation had been averted, and she watched the big truck drive off into the night. When she returned, one of the bikers said to her, "He wasn't much of a man, was he?" To which she replied, "He's not much of a truck driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles in the parking lot." Yes. Have you ever been pushed to the limit? Have you ever been tried to the point of breaking? And your patience is worn so thin and you can't take it any longer. You feel like pulling out your hair or exploding on the spot, then this message is for you, or this message is for us. From James 5, verses 7 through 11, I prepared a sermon titled, The Grace of Patience. Let's pause briefly for prayer, shall we? God in heaven above, we confess that we are impatient people. Lord, we pray that you, your Spirit, would produce in us that fruit of long-suffering, of patience. We pray, God, that you would enable us and empower us to obey the Spirit's command to be patient. Lord, I pray that you would give us insight and understanding now from the Scripture text of which we study so that we can walk in the Spirit. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our purposes this morning, I'm going to define patience. And perhaps a point of conversation this Wednesday evening in your home Bible fellowships is our variety of definitions of patience. How would you define patience? I'm going to define patience this morning, at least godly patience. Godly patience is this. I printed it for you there at the top of your notes. Patience is being steadfast under strain because God is sovereign. If you have a Bible with you this morning, James chapter 5, but I'd like to begin in James chapter 1. The book of James was written to a group of people who were struggling. They were suffering a very definite strain in their lives. We know from chapter 1, verse number 1, that they were scattered abroad as religious exiles. They were experiencing the ultimate inconvenience, the ultimate injustice in life by being driven from their homes and from their homeland because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And if anyone had a reason to be frustrated and be impatient, it was these people. And so James says this in James 1, verse number 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The story is told of a young Christian who went to an older Christian for help. "Will you please pray for me?" The young man asked the older Christian, "Pray for me that I may be more patient." And so together they knelt, and the old man began to pray, "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man tribulation in the evening." And at that point, the young Christian man blurted out, No, I didn't ask you to pray for tribulation. I wanted you to pray for patience." "Ah," responded the wise old Christian, "it is through tribulation that we learn patience." And so it is that James recognized the trial and the tribulation of his readers, and he seized upon this opportunity to instruct them regarding their suffering and encouraging them to suffer long or have patience. First, of course, because they were driven from their homes and their homelands as religious exiles because of persecution. But also then, if you turn to chapter number 5, as Dave Kinneberg hinted earlier in the service, because they were being mistreated by the wealthy, privileged oppressors who employed them in James 5, verses 1 through 6. In fact, allow me to read James' rebuke to those who mistreated James' readers. James 5, verse number 1, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl, for your miseries are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. How so or why? Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth," or the Lord of hosts. "You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you." And after rebuking the rich in verses 1 through 6, James turns to the restless now, his Christian brothers who are suffering the injustices of discrimination and oppression, and he calls them to be patient, verse number 7. "Therefore, because of these things," or in spite of these things, "therefore," verse number 7, "be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." Look at verse 8. "You also be patient, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And so I would submit to you, number one in your notes, be patient is the imperative or the command. Be patient, wait for it. Be patient, James says in verse 7 and again in verse 8. Be patient because Jesus is coming again. And while we might say the obligatory amen to this idea, we aren't entirely sure how this helps us now when it comes to being patient in rush hour traffic or with our children's misbehavior. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that patience in the small things of life is because we are not living in light of the big consequences of life, namely, the Lord of our lives is coming again. Negatively, Jesus is coming as the Lord of hosts, verse number 4, and as the judge in verse number 9, you see it there. Positively, Jesus is coming again with compassion and mercy, the end of verse number 11. Turn quickly with me to Psalm 13. In your Old Testament, Psalm 13, our lament in life is so similar to the psalmist in Psalm 13, and I think his cry will resonate with you. Psalm 13, allow me to read the entire psalm. How long, O Lord? You see, at issue is a point of patience. How long, O Lord, Psalm 13, verse 1, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. Let those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. And so one can be patient, waiting for that blessing from the Lord. Our impatience, folks, in the trivial matters of life is really an impatience with what we perceive God has done or not done for us in life, or maybe what God will or will not yet do in our lives. However, if we are able to stop and recognize the good sovereignty of God over the affairs of our lives, we can wait. We can even sing while we wait, Psalm 13, verse number 6. Because we know that he will deal bountifully with us in every situation. Be patient. Wait for it. God is good. Back in James 5, verse number 7, James uses an illustration of a farmer who waits for the harvest. James 5, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rains. And I think there are two reasons why the farmer is able to wait patiently. The first is letter A, expectation from God. Expectation from God. The farmer's expectation is that God will send the early and the latter rain to water his crops and grow his fields. Now, in Israel, the growing season is different than ours. We normally think of planting in the spring and reaping in the fall. But in Israel, the grains are planted in the fall and harvested in the spring. What we normally think of as our growing season during the summer months is really impossible in the hot and dry land there in the Middle East. So the early rains come in October and November. The latter rains come in March and April, and this is, in fact, the very thing that God promised in Deuteronomy 11, verse 14. Then I will give you rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And every time in the Bible that there's a reference to the early and the latter rains, there is an affirmation of God's faithfulness to his people. So the farmer can wait patiently for the harvest because his expectation is from God. His expectation is from a faithful God. You may want to modify subpoint letter A there. Expectation from a faithful God. And I think of Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8. My soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before God. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Pause and think about that. And the next time that there is a point of impatience in your life with a circumstantial inconvenience to your comfort or your agenda, be steadfast under strain because of your confidence in the sovereignty of God. He is a faithful God. There are countless illustrations that we could cite. I think of Joseph, who suffered at the hands of his jealous brothers. And the Joseph who suffered the injustice of a false accusation from Potiphar's wife. And then Joseph who suffered the indignity of being forgotten in an Egyptian jail. But in due time, after years, I might add, God promoted Joseph to a place of crucial importance to save many people alive. Wait. Be patient. Wait for it. Expectation from a faithful God. We're all familiar with Lamentations 3. We're familiar with verses 22 and 23, but have you ever continued reading? Lamentations 3, verse 22, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's our point here. Expectation from a faithful God. But if we keep reading, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. The farmer is able to wait patiently because his expectation is from a faithful God. The early and the latter rains will grow his crops. I think secondly, I believe the farmer in James 5 verse 7 is can wait patiently for the harvest because of his personal experience. That's letter B, the experience of man. Letter B, the experience of man. And they say that experience is the best teacher. But I would contend that experience remembered is the best teacher. For that reason, it's so important that we remember what God has done for us in the past. In fact, that was a repeated point of instruction to Israel. Don't forget the works of God. Don't forget what you have experienced from this faithful God. And a farmer knows by personal experience remembered, that waiting for the harvest will be rewarded. There is no instant gratification for the farmer. In fact, after the seeds are planted, it may be weeks before even visible signs of plant life appear. But because of his experience, he knows that the last time God was faithful and the last time his crops grew because of the early and the latter rains. And so while waiting is the very essence of a farmer, waiting is the very essence of a Christian. And according to James, the trials and the tribulations of life or the hardships that we endure are necessary experiences we need in life to teach us patience so that the next time we experience a point of strain, we can wait for it. This Wednesday evening, as you gather in your homes for the Home Bible Fellowship small group meetings, and you further discuss and apply this teaching, share occasions with one another when you were compelled to wait. Your personal experience compelled you to wait, and now in hindsight, you can see God's sovereign control over that matter. Perhaps you had to wait to get married. Perhaps you had to wait to have children. Perhaps you had to wait for a new job position. Perhaps you had to wait for the diagnosis. Perhaps you're still waiting for the cure. Perhaps you had to wait for God to change the heart of your spouse or your child. And your personal experience in hindsight reminds you of the faithfulness of God. You can share those stories with one another this week. We are waiting because our expectation is from a faithful God, and we are waiting because we remember a previous experience when God protected and provided in the past. Now in James 5, verses 7 and 8, James repeats the imperative. He repeats the command, be patient, verse 7. Once again, be patient in verse 8. He also repeats the theme in verse 7 and 8, the theme, be patient, because the Lord is returning. However, the parallel in verse 8 adds an additional idea. You see it there if you're looking at verse number 8. Establish your hearts. I'd like to call it number 2 in your notes. Be steadfast. Be steadfast. Don't move. Be steadfast. Don't move. Verse number 8. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Look at verse number 10. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. At first, patience, Roman numeral number 1, patience appears to be a passive grace. That is, we stand still. We wait for it. But patience is an active grace. That is, we stand steadfast. And whereas James used the example of the farmer, in this case he is now citing the example of the prophets in verse number 10. And I am so glad that I am a New Testament pastor and not an Old Testament prophet, because the Old Testament prophets were repeatedly rejected when they spoke God's word. Jeremiah was thrown into a well. Elijah was so worn out from his fight with Jezebel, he wanted to die. Daniel was thrown into a lion's den by a king who had been his friend, you see. We might cite Noah, who prophesied of the coming judgment of God for 100 years, but didn't have a single convert outside of his family. And then in verse 11 here, James 5, verse 11, Job is named specifically. We don't normally think of Job as a prophet, but James seems to include him here in this very same category for the sake of the illustration. And Job is perhaps the greatest illustration of one who endured unimaginable, unexplainable suffering. He lost everything, but through it all, the Bible says that Job did not sin nor blame God. And Job even exclaimed, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that is an example of being grounded and rooted and steadfast or firm. In fact, I like how James J. Adams translates the phrase from verse 8, establish your hearts. J. Adams translates it, firm up your hearts. And I've copied for you what he's written. J. Adams says, unless you are firm within, you will not endure. I've printed this for you. Unless you are firm within, you will not endure. With that stability, you will be able to handle whatever comes your way. Inner firmness is not hard-heartedness, indifference, or some species of stoicism. That to which James refers is true, stalwart, unflinching solidity that comes from a staunch commitment to God's promises. It is a command to become impervious to pleasure. It is a call to abandon all spiritual weakness that causes us to fall apart when the waiting is long and the struggle is intense. According to James, our firmness is an index to inner strength of heart. So we're steadfast. We don't move while we wait for that faithful God to fulfill his promises to us. Verse number 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. I would submit number 3 in the back of your notes from verse number 9. Be nice. Be nice. You will be judged. Verse number 9. Now, isn't being nice a Minnesota thing? Minnesota nice. Minnesota nice is really a complicated thing. To Minnesotans, we are sufficiently polite by acknowledging each other and then leaving each other alone, right? Isn't that Minnesota nice? But from others, perhaps transplants that come to us from, let's say like the Deep South. We'll say from Iowa, right? Those who come to us from out of Minnesota, they consider us downright rude. But we're Minnesota nice. We acknowledge you, and then we leave you alone. But what is Paul saying in verse number 9? Do not grumble against one another, brethren. He's saying in light of the Lord's coming, that is in light of the judge's imminent return, believers ought to restrain themselves and refrain from grumbling and complaining while you wait. You might jot in the margin, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it's good or bad. You might also jot in the margin Philippians 2, verses 14 to 16. Philippians 2, 14 to 16, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain nor labored in vain. We need to be nice. We're impatient. We're intolerant. We're frustrated. And we snap. We complain and we grumble in those moments. But know that we will be judged. You see, the trivial matters of life, the traffic jam, or waiting on hold, or the children, those smaller matters of life frustrate us because we're not living in light of the greater consequences of life, and that is Jesus Christ is coming again. Stephen Charnock was an English Puritan who wrote a classic work on the existence and the attributes of God, a large volume. And here's what he has said. I've copied it for you there in the back of your notes. In regard of God, patience is a submission to his sovereignty. To endure a trial simply because we cannot avoid or resist it is not Christian patience. But to humbly submit because it is the will of God to inflict the trial, to be silent because the sovereignty of God orders it, that is what is truly godly patience. So, dear folks, I would submit to you that as we abide in Christ positionally, and as we walk in the Spirit practically, we can be steadfast under strain because God is sovereign. And all of the frustrations that you experience in life are little trials, little tribulations, little tests that God is allowing into your life to teach you patience, to grow you in patience, so that you might be fruitful as a believer. Let's pray. Lord, I confess that I'm not always a patient man. Lord, forgive me for walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would always remind me of your pending return, that you would always convict me regarding your sovereignty, so that I might wait, that I might be steadfast while I wait, and that I might even demonstrate Christian grace and be nice while I wait. For I pray this in Jesus' name.